Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, conserving the past to inspire future generations of dreamers and preserving the legacy of Julia Morgan. To learn more about how to become a member and experience authentically curated historical events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. These experiences are unparalleled in their historical accuracy and grandeur. And you too can savor the experience by becoming a supporting member of the Foundation at Hearst Castle. To learn more, log on to foundationathearstcastle.com. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Oakland Zoo. Come along and join me for a conversation with CEO Nick DeHasia and VP of Veterinary Services, Dr. Alex Herman. The Oakland Zoo is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year, and the zoo is just minutes from town, but it's a world away, situated on a sprawling rural woodland locale.
My name is Nick DeHasia, Chief Executive Officer, Conservation Society of California, Oakland Zoo. We're sitting up here at the California Trail Exhibit, an incredible view, both across the park, overlooking downtown Oakland and San Francisco Bay. We just took this amazing gondola ride, the only urban gondola practically in the United States.
You're in an urban setting, Oakland, California, and all of a sudden you're going through this rural, amazing tree-lined wilderness.
You know, that's one of the beautiful things about being not only in the San Francisco Bay Area, but here in Oakland, the geographic center, actually, of the Bay. And you've got the incredible parks and hills of the Regional Park District, and yet we're overlooking an incredible city below us.
It really is a paradox, isn't it?
It is a paradox, and you know, this is part of our story. What is that interface between the urban and wildlife and wild places? And here we are at the center where we're mixing and crossing between that.
About you?
I've been here for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
It's been an amazing experience. Actually, sitting up here in California Trail was part of my initial journey to help design and build and lead this effort, and it's incredible to be sitting here. We've got kids walking by us, parents just enjoying the beautiful outdoors here.
Backing up in time in your world, how did you get to here, you know, from there? Where did you start out, and how did you get the bug with nature and animals?
It's a funny thing. You don't always look for a job at a zoo. You know, I've always been in the nonprofit world, always been in social service, and interested in education and conservation broadly. You know, had an opportunity in a very young age to travel around the world. I was actually born in India and moved here when I was young, and so being part of an international community and certainly caring and concerning for all people and wildlife. And so it led me to this role unexpectedly. Didn't think I would be at a zoo, but running a zoo is so much more than the animals. It is an entire operation, an entire business, and that's how I came up through the business operation side, but certainly with these values of how do we want to live and how do we want to interact in society. And so I find this beautiful marriage of leading an organization from a business side, but creating great value not only in our local community here in Oakland, but we're working on elephant projects in Africa, projects across the world in Asia and South America. So it's this beautiful blend that is a real honor and a privilege to be part of.
That's interesting. I know some zoos, they have projects of birthing and propelling the species and keeping it going. Do you do that here?
You know, it's across the spectrum for us. So everything from an individual animal. Here in California, wildfires are rampant. So we have rescued our 19th mountain lion, many of it from wildfires, but some of it from just that urban wild interface where mountain lions are crossing our path. And mothers have been killed, maybe to vehicle traffic, so we are called upon to rescue, all the way to working on California condors, a species that was taken out of the wild in the 1980s. Now it's back up to about 285 in the wild, so we have a couple of ambassador species to represent that positive recovery of species, and it's a real beautiful story of the California condor. And then it goes all the way to the other extreme of elephants in Africa and the research that we're supporting, ensuring that elephants don't get killed for poaching and for their ivory. Mm-hmm. So whether it's an individual or an entire species, we have an opportunity and get involved in that.
That's really cool. Talk to us about some of the animal species that the first place you would take me to see to show off.
Well, listen, we're up here in California Trail, so the grizzly bears are phenomenal. You know, this exhibit here is about California native species.
So you have grizzly bears here?
We have grizzly bears here. And imagine, grizzly bears on the state flag in California, but no longer in the state. The last ones were killed in the 1920s. So these grizzly bears come to us from Alaska. Unfortunately, as in many animals, they were raiding garbage cans in Anchorage. And so we had an opportunity to save them. They were going to be euthanized to bring them into the zoo. And watching these species move around, interact amongst themselves, looking for food, playing in the water, it really is magical to see them up close.
And there's been a huge evolution in the world of zoos over the last two generations, big time. The environment and the space allocated per species. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we here at the Oakland Zoo are celebrating 100 years this year. When I look back and think about the last even 30 years of our care and our knowledge and awareness of how to care for animals, we're constantly evolving and learning. For us, it's critical. Space, choice, control is so important for the animal. You know, they're not here for our enjoyment. We come for a visit, they live here. So it's really important that we give them an opportunity to really live a life that is full. You know, yes, it's in a zoo, but most of these species are rescued here for us. They don't have another opportunity to be elsewhere. But giving them 3 acres for our grizzly bears, 13 acres for our American bison, as much space as possible, that's what's really important.
And some zoos don't have that luxury of geographic space available.
That is true. And I think as zoos go forward, ensuring that we provide the best care, the veterinary care, the animal care, giving them the right enrichment, and making sure they have the space, that's what's truly important. And zoos are evolving. I mean, not only in how we operate, but our contribution to conservation. You know, there are 240 accredited zoos across the United States and aquariums. The amount of time that we all spend protecting and saving species, contributing back into the wild, is significant. It's the largest institution, if you think of it, that is supporting conservation in the wild as a collective.
Do you get together with other CEOs from zoos around the country?
You know, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it happens in a number of ways. I mean, certainly as zoos go, we participate in what's called a species survival plan. So we are very actively engaging with our partner institutions. We don't just breed animals indiscriminately. That's not what we do. We are here very deliberately to protect the species. So we're interacting across a number of different ways, whether it's on an animal side, a business operations side, a funding perspective. There's so many elements of running an institution like a zoo.
Where does your money come from?
Well, most of our money is earned income. So what that means is it's people coming in the door. This is admissions, this is membership, an opportunity certainly for philanthropy.
Corporate support.
We do have a little bit of corporate support, but I would say 90% or more is from that earned income. So
Wow. It
takes a lot to run this institution. And so, you know, we're always looking ahead. How do we continue to evolve and improve? We do get some funding from public sources as well. But here in Oakland, it's a very small percentage of our budget.
And it's a private nonprofit. It's not a governmental NGO.
That's exactly right. The Oakland Zoo is a private nonprofit. We operate in a city park on city land, but we are fully a private nonprofit entity.
Interesting. To learn more about your world, have a go-to website, or how would somebody learn?
Oaklandzoo.org. More importantly, come out and visit. There's nothing like being out in the San Francisco Bay, visiting the Oakland Zoo and all these wonderful zoos and aquariums.
And you're not far off the 580 interstate, right?
We are literally minutes from the Oakland airport and no more than 45 minutes from the San Francisco airport. So very close off of Highway 580 and a great visit, not just for your local residents, but anybody who wants to come into Oakland. My name is Nick Dehagia, Chief Executive Officer, Conservation Society of California, Oakland Zoo.
Thank you, Nick. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Oakland Zoo. We'll see you there.
My name is Alex Herman. I'm Vice President of Veterinary Services for Conservation Society of California, Oakland Zoo.
Are you a veterinarian?
I sure am. Yeah.
And large animal, small animal?
Well, here at the zoo in a day we can treat a frog and a giraffe. So I'd say very tiny, very big, and everything in between.
I heard you had a spider come in for treatment.
We've had a few tarantulas have different health problems, and we definitely tried to provide great medical care whether you have a backbone or not.
What's the most rewarding aspect of what you do and why you do what you do?
Helping the beautiful animals, for sure. The medicine is interesting, their biology is interesting, their behavior is interesting. Just a wide variety of animals that we see is fascinating every day.
So, unfair question to ask. Do you have a favorite animal?
I would say I have a list of very compelling animals, but I definitely don't have a favorite. There's so many different species I just think are amazing.
Hard to compare, huh?
Very, yeah.
Some of your biggest challenges that you have?
Well, financial for sure. You know, there's certainly greater need than there is resources. We really do a variety of work here at the Oakland Zoo Veterinary Hospital. We provide preventative medical care for every single animal here on campus. So that's vaccines, x-rays, health check, dental health, reproductive health. So kind of preventative medicine, just like all of us would get from our own physicians. We also provide emergency care. So if any animal hurts another animal or an animal falls or becomes acutely ill, we'll provide that service. Care for aging animals. Animals in accredited zoos are so well cared for. They often live to be very old. So they need arthritis management, physical therapy. Also quarantined animals. Animals that come into our facility and leave our facility to go to other facilities. We care for them here. Of course, all of the conservation and rescue work that we do here at the Oakland Zoo, we're regional coordinators for the California Condor Recovery Program. So that's, we provide medical care for the condor flocks from Pinnacles National Park, Big Sur, and then now the new Yurok Tribe-sponsored release site up on the Klamath River, in addition to mountain lions and black-crowned night herons. So there's a lot that goes on here, and I would say our biggest challenge is just getting financial support so that we can do all this good work.
Do you ever have bird flying by and go, this is a cool place to live?
We have some native animals, native species on grounds because it's a really big naturalistic grounds. So we definitely coexist with wonderful snakes, foxes, possums, lots of different raptors, ravens. So certainly if the wild animals that live here on campus get hurt, we'll care for them.
Do you ever work with the condors yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. We provide a lot of medical care for them. The main work that we do for the condors that are in established flocks is treat them for lead toxicity. For example, we have condor 745 here right now who came in with big, high lead levels, and they get it from eating lead ammunition that's left in the environment. So we really do not only care for the birds to try to reestablish the endangered species, but also really try to get the word out that non-lead ammo is the path forward for restoring condors to the state of California.
So is lead bullets, are they still legal?
Actually, they shouldn't be purchased or used in the state of California. Unfortunately, though, due to supply chain issues, there's a lot less copper ammunition available than people need. And it's a big transition. You know, people have a lot of lead ammo that they're still trying to use up. And some people just don't know about the deleterious effect on the environment and a lot of the animals.
And how do they wind up consuming the lead?
So condors are basically giant vultures. They eat dead animals. So if someone's been varmint shooting or left a gut pile behind from deer hunting, that kind of thing, those are the main areas of exposure. They're really nature's cleanup crew. So when they come through and eat a gut pile and there's lead shot in it, or if a varmint's been shot on a farm or something like that and then goes off and dies and, you know, they eat the dead rat or whatever, then they ingest the lead.
And you do surgeries?
We sure do. Yep, I'm a real veterinarian, so hands-on with the condors for lead treatment. We do surgery, we do medical management. We provide a full service veterinary disciplines to all the different animals here. So that could be cancer care, surgery, managing something chronic like kidney failure or liver failure or lung disease, orthopedic disease, that kind of thing.
A holistic family practitioner. For animals.
A holistic family practitioner for zoo animals.
Yeah.
So we definitely do a lot of different stuff.
That's really fascinating. So never a boring day for you.
I would say never a boring day, which sometimes I get tired, but in general, I just love it. We have a big team here, very accomplished with a lot of specialized treatment. We have 3 full-time zoo veterinarians, 4 full-time specialty trained zoo nurses, and 2 full-time hospital keepers that work here in the hospital. So we have a big team to accomplish all these goals.
Your journey, how did you wind up here? Where'd you start out?
I can honestly say I think I was born to be a veterinarian. I can't remember not knowing that I was going to be a veterinarian.
Wow.
I remember being as tall as someone's knee and looking at their knee and thinking I was going to be a veterinarian. So I think I was pretty small, probably 4 or 5, I don't know. But my parents were both biologists. So we always had a lot of different animals in their workplaces and in our home. So I knew that I would always be a veterinarian for not just dogs and cats, but for all sorts of different animals and for wildlife and zoo animals, that kind of thing.
How fascinating. It's the most fascinating, intriguing things you've encountered, even from an anatomical standpoint or dealing with animals from a doctor standpoint.
That's a hard one to answer because I think there's so many fascinating things. Right now, I will say, with indigenous folks getting a lot more sovereignty and bringing their animals back to their land and our role in assisting with that. For example, the Yurok tribe being successful at being the first new condor release site in 20 years, the Blackfeet Nation with their NEI initiative, we're a captive breeding program for buffalo. I think that has a really potent positive effect in a world that's struggling with a lot of things right now. So to me, that brings a lot of joy, gives us a lot of inspiration to work hard. So there's, you know, on that level that we're functioning. And then I will say, you know, we had a condor recently that needed a specialist to do surgery to remove lead from her intestinal tract. She was so sick that her whole intestinal tract was shut down and she couldn't get rid of the lead herself. Just the anatomy of these animals that, you know, are a 20-pound animal that can fly high in the sky. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no kidding. So was the lead removal successful?
So far, Condor 171 is doing great. Her rehab may be as long as a year, but hopefully she'll be back out. She's a reproductive female, so a really important part of the recovery program here. I will also say I think the mountain lions are just fascinating. They're such a beautiful apex predator here in the state of California, and I think really just becoming to be appreciated for their role in climate resilience, for their place in biodiversity. So we're really happy that we can save the orphaned babies who lose their parents and also help to move stray guys that end up in a street tree in San Francisco or down by AT&T Park, that kind of thing.
All right, to learn more about your world.
Well, we have oaklandzoo.org. We do vet tales every Friday. A lot of the cases that we handle are on social media, and you can see in great detail, really good pictures of everything that we do. So I think those would be the best way to really keep up on all the neat work happening here at the Oakland Zoo. And I'm Alex Herman.
Thank you, Alex.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the Oakland Zoo. We'll see you here. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, conserving the past to inspire future generations of dreamers and preserving the legacy of Julia Morgan. To learn more about how to become a member and experience authentically curated historical events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. These experiences are unparalleled in their historical accuracy and grandeur. And you too can savor the experience by becoming a supporting member of the Foundation at Hearst Castle. To learn more, log on to foundationathearstcastle.com.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com.